Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Okay, hi. Happy Thanksgiving. I just want to know how many of you have put up any Christmas decorations yet? Okay, so how many of you are like, no way, you're not allowed to do Christmas decorations before Thanksgiving? Okay. After Thanksgiving? All right. How many of you are going to host Thanksgiving? I just want to see. Just a few of you. How many of you are going somewhere? Okay. All right. How many of you have nothing to do? Nothing to do for Thanksgiving? Okay, tables, we need to gather. They should not be alone on Thanksgiving. So never, tables, you gather and you invite, okay? What I'm going to ask is for you guys to turn your chairs around if you're facing me to the back, because I don't want to be a pain in your neck. So flip your chair around. Flip your chair around. Okay. You've had your time to talk. It's ours now. So what I asked was, I asked the teaching team, and this is not even all the teaching team. Teresa wasn't able to come today, and then we have Pastor Joanna and Tracy and everybody else. We just had so many people, I only knew that we talk a lot. So this is what we're going to do. I asked them to pick a verse and then just maybe ask a question so that you guys around the table then can talk about that, what we talked about, okay? So it's an interactive time of teaching, all right? You guys get it? Awesome. So Pastor Michelle, I'm going to start with you. What was your verse, and then what is your question for the girls?
Okay, Psalms 136. I chose a whole chapter, but I will stay within my 3 minutes of allotted time, I promise. But let's go ahead, and I just want to go through the chapter because this is a chapter that's about thankfulness. And it's going to be fast, but in, I like the NLT version. And I want to explain with this verse. First of all, this verse is a song, and this is a celebration song that they would sing every Passover. And it was a song that was supposed to be sung with everybody joining in. It was supposed to be fun. It was supposed to be exciting. And it was supposed to be just a celebration. So you can imagine everybody's clapping their hands. You know, you got the hype man kind of trying to get everybody going. Okay, the beat is strong and it is fun. And the song just basically, it's pretty repetitive, but I just want to go through a little bit of it. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever." And the song goes on. It talks about his mighty works. It talks about how he created it. And the chorus is basically, you know, everybody's like, "His faithful love endures forever." Like, you can just imagine them singing all together at this huge Passover celebration and supper. And they go on and he talks about the heavenly lights. And he talks about how they were rescued from Egypt. And so basically this song is broken up into three parts. And it talks about how he is God the creator. He loves us. We are to be thankful. His faithful love endures forever. And then it talks about what he's done for them. So it talks how God delivered them from Egypt. He delivered them from the Amorites and Og and all these terrible people. And then it talks about what God is going to do in the future. And so today, as we're preparing ourselves for Thanksgiving, I want you to think about that song and what would the lyrics of your song be? You're here today with your girls. Think about with your family. And you start to sing together and to remember what God has done, that he's almighty, that he's the creator, that he's created you, that you have purpose in life, and his faithful love endures forever. That's the chorus we all sing. And then it goes on to say, what has God done in your life? What battles has he delivered you from? What Egypt has he delivered you from? And then everyone joins in the chorus, and his faithful love endures forever. And what's in your heart that you know God is going to do in the future? What plans does he have for you? And then we wrap it all up together in the chorus and sing, and his faithful love endures forever. So today, are we going to go to the tables right now?
Yeah.
Why don't you girls say what one lyric of your song would be? What's something that God has done in your life? What echoes in your heart as him as the creator? Or what is something that you know he's going to do in your life, and how would you sing that? So go ahead, head to the tables. Talk about it.
What would your lyric be?
He's done, I think he's just done so much. And that's what you need to realize. Like, you look back on your life, I think especially as a teenager, I was so hardcore, like, whatever God wants to do with me in my life as a teenager. And he always met those expectations.
Yeah.
And those are really good things for me to see as a young person, because it built a foundation.
So, very good. All right, Dr. V, what is your verse for Thanksgiving and your question for us?
Okay. My verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." But I have to substantiate this with some other verses so you understand why this is my favorite. And I'm going to do it in 3 minutes. I'm succinct. So first of all, you know, I love this verse because it reminds me when things happen in life that I don't like and I don't understand and are against my plan, that I should still have a grateful heart. And then you say, well, how? Like, when everything's going to hell in a handbasket. Is that a bad word?
Not for me.
How are you supposed to be thankful, you know? And so I team this up with Colossians 4:2. I hope I'm not using everybody's verses, but. And it's devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And so what that means to me is that as I pray, I have to believe that I receive. And if I believe that I receive, then I'm thankful. So I have to build my faith, and faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Believe I receive, and then I can be thankful because I'm praising him when I pray. You know, sometimes we think of prayer as just a last resort thing, but if I actually believe that when I pray, things that I can't see are happening in the spirit realm, and that I have what I'm saying, then I can be thankful, right? And my last verse with this is 1 Samuel 3:18, and it says, "So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. It is the Lord's will," Eli replied. "Let him do what he thinks best." And all things work together for good. So I say to God, do what you think is best for me. I can't see the whole picture, but you're Alpha and Omega. And because you care for me and all things are going to work out for my good, and because I believe I receive when I pray, I'm going to be thankful. So my question is, have you had any tactics or techniques that you use to help you believe that you receive at the time you pray? How do you increase your faith when you're believing God for something as if it's already done so you could be thankful? Okay, so as an example, our panel up here is having trouble with my question. Like, for me, like, I write it down and then I say it throughout the day anytime, like, I feel like crying about what's going on or I feel afraid and fear tries to enter in. I train myself to say that verse, and by the end of the day, I feel a little better. Sometimes I'll put it up on the mirror. Sometimes I'll make it personal. I'll put my name in there. Vanessa, you're going to be thankful in all things because God is working everything out for your good. I pull out that verse. I look at it. By the end of the week, I'm feeling any better, even better, you know? So what do you do, and what can the other girls glean from what you do to help them believe God for what, you know, they want? Does that make more sense?
All right, ladies, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to go to the next question, okay? Just wait for you. How are you guys doing? Are your questions sparking good conversation around the table? Awesome. Okay, Pastor Sue, 3 minutes, and what's your verse? And what is your question?
I think you're emphasizing that 3 minutes a little bit.
No.
Anyway, my favorite verse, or one that really came to me when I was praying, was Colossians 3:15. And in the New King James, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." in the Message Bible, it says, let the peace of God, let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thanksgiving, thankfulness. And I was just thinking about the aspect of cultivating thankfulness, where it says be thankful. You know, it's a choice. We have a choice through the day. You can't wait for a feeling to come on you. When you're grumbling and tempted to be frustrated because no one's helping you cook or cleaning up or whatever, right at that moment, let the Holy Spirit catch you and choose to be thankful. And the more you do that in a habitual way, the more you allow the Holy Spirit to catch you and just change your frame of mind and choose to be thankful just in that moment. Thank you, Father. I thank you that I'm strong enough to do these dishes. You know, I thank you for a family that loves fellowshipping with each other while I clean. No, I'm just joking. But you know, when you choose in that moment to be thankful rather than complaining or grumbling or having a pity party, then you begin to cultivate that as a lifestyle. And the more you do it, the more you just make a conscious choice to do it, the more you're going to see your whole attitude changing in that. And so many times we have to stop and say, it is a choice. We can't wait for feelings to come on us. Somebody said years ago, and I had on my refrigerator for years, it said, to complain is carnal. And so you just know if you're complaining, feeling frustrated, grumbling, kind of half angry, you're in the flesh. So just make a choice. I'm going to get over in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's right here. I'm all to all God. I can do this. I can be thankful. And just begin to thank Him for every... It's kind of my routine in the morning in the shower. I just combine things with things. I don't know if you're that way. But in the shower, I just thank God for everything I can think of. Just thank Him. You know, thank you for the hot water. There was a time I've been on the mission field where I didn't have hot water. I mean, you know, there's something we can be thankful for. In any situation. That's right. Last night, my brother texted me, and he said, pray for his son, who is a sheriff with the Alameda County Sheriff's Department. And they were just called on. They're going up there today to the Paradise area to help find, you know, 200 missing bodies, you know. And I said, I will pray for him. I cannot imagine being given that task. I can imagine, I mean, what those families are going through. And I just stopped, and my husband was there, and I said, we just need to pray, you know. And we've been praying. I know you all have been praying for the people that have been devastated in the fires. But, you know, we have so much to be thankful for. And we do need to be thanking God for those that have survived, but also be praying for them that have, you know, lost loved ones and everything. But we have so, so much to be thankful for. Do I hear an amen? Amen. But the question that I chose was, what are some ways we can cultivate thanksgiving in our lives? What are some ways you can cultivate thankfulness? The way you can cultivate thankfulness as a way of life in your life.
All right, girls. Wrap it up. I know not everybody gets to talk, so maybe the same person shouldn't talk every time. Okay. Because we have more to do after this. We're going to take communion together, so I want to get through this. So Beth, Reverend Beth, Pastor Deborah's talking to her. Reverend Beth, what is your verse on Thanksgiving and your question for us?
I'm going to try to keep it short, I promise. As I sit up here today, I'm surrounded by such wisdom. I almost feel like, oh my goodness. But I'm just thankful. Can I just say I'm thankful for our pastors, the wisdom that they preach, the wisdom that they share. And so I'm just honored to be up here with them. But I wanted to read from a psalm that is actually very famous. It's very ornate. It's discussed that it's one of the most beautiful pieces of not scripture, but literature that was ever created in its time. And so I want to read to you from Psalms 103. It's a famous verse, and maybe you've sang it as a child or in church or anything like that. If you would, if you know it, say it with me. Psalms 103:1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and not forget all his benefits. And so I love that verse. It makes me excited to hear it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. But the soul is an interesting subject. The soul is you and me. In fact, if you go back to the beginning of time with Adam and Eve, it says that God breathed life into them. The breath of God was breathed into us and we received life and our soul became alive. And so when I think of the soul, I think of how we are breathing on borrowed air. You and me, we are breathing on borrowed air from our Creator God. And the soul, can I just ask you a question? Your soul, can you ever feel when your soul feels anxious? Can you ever feel when your soul feels heavy? Can you ever feel when your soul feels weary and you just feel it draining on you? Can I ask you this? Have you ever thought about maybe your soul needs to feel at home? Do you guys know the feeling of home when you come in and it is your home, right? When you know what? There is no place like what? Okay, right? And so there is no place like home. And when you come home, you smell your home. You feel your home. You know the sounds of your home. You know where you hid the good ice cream in the back of your home, okay? Like, you know your home. I travel just a bit, and I'll be gone for 2 weeks at a time. And it's not but 1 or 2 days that I say to myself, can I just go home? Like, I love what I'm doing here, but can I just be home? Because home is where you rest. And sometimes your soul, it feels like it needs rest. Or sometimes your soul, it feels like it needs to be at home. But where does it go to be at home? And how does it feel at home? And all that. Psalms 103, I think it gives us just a bit of an idea. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. You see, the Hebrew translation for soul is breath. Remember, we are breathing on borrowed air. Our soul, when translated into Hebrew, it is breath. And then if you translate the word bless, it means to affectionately praise and give thanksgiving. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. I bring you the idea and the thought today that maybe, just maybe, for your soul to feel at home, it's in the place where you begin to use the borrowed breath God gave you to give Him praise and thanks. It is in that place that your soul begins to feel restored. It is in the place of praise and thanks that your soul begins to be uplifted. When you are feeling weary and tired, it is in the place of saying, God, I give you thanks this morning. Even though I don't understand it, I will lift up my voice and use my breath to praise your holy name. You see, there is no place like home, and for your soul to be rested, for your soul to find its place, it needs to be in the place of praise and thanks. Can I read to you the ending of that psalm? It says, bless the Lord, all his works and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He began the psalms with praise. He ended the psalms with praise. You see, if you are feeling weary, if you are feeling tired, if you are feeling restless, if you are feeling without a home, it's simple. Just praise his name. If I could real quick, I thought it would be very appropriate to read from the diary of the first American Thanksgiving. This is from 1620. This is from a sailor of William Bradford after he climbed out the Mayflower at Plymouth Rock. This is what his diary wrote. He said, I stood half amazed at my people's present condition, being thus past the vast ocean and the sea of troubles. They had now no friends to welcome them, nor inns to entertain or refresh their weather-beaten bodies. What could now sustain them but the Spirit of God and his grace? Listen to what they did in these hard times. They fell upon their knees and blessed the God of heaven who brought them over the vast, furious ocean. Then they delivered them from all the perilous and miseries thereof. Again, they stood to their feet, firm and stable ground. In a time where they felt they had no friends, in a time where they were in a place that they did not recognize, a place that you would say was not their home. Even though they felt alone, even though they felt they didn't recognize where they were, they could still find home. Why? Because they lifted up the name of Jesus. They said, I come and I give him thanks. If you are feeling alone, if you are feeling like you have nobody by your side, if you are feeling like you're doing this all by yourself, listen, you are not alone. You are not without a home. Send your soul home and give him praise and thanks in those times. And so My question to you guys today is to ask each other and ask yourself, are you at a place that your soul feels like it needs rest? If so, what are you going to do to fix it? Because we can talk about how bad our soul is, how rotten our lives are, but I got to tell you, you need to make a plan and then do the plan. So ask yourselves that among yourself, does your soul need rest? It's okay if it does. We all need rest. And then go ahead and discuss how you will fix that.
All right. That was so good. You ladies killed it with those verses. So, so good. Are you guys enjoying your time? Yeah? What is, just somebody shout out to me, what is some of your soul care you guys do? Any good soul care? Anyone? Pastor Michelle said Sabbath. She literally has to like remind herself, I'm taking a Sabbath this week. Anyone else? Come on, say it out loud. Do you do? You dance. I love that. That's good. Anyone else? Some soul care? See, you women have a hard time taking care of yourselves, huh? Because you're taking care of everyone else. So, yes. Ooh, she goes on a train ride and sits at the beach. I love that. I love that. My mother-in-law just took a group of people to the beach, and then they didn't hang out together at the beach because they separated and spent time with God and then got back together and talked about all the things that God did for them. Isn't that cool? Maybe there's some things you guys can put into practice this next year and call it soul care, you know, and do that. My soul care lately has been, I am decorating for Christmas this year. My house might look like it's thrown up Christmas, but I haven't got to decorate for years. So this is it, man. And that is soul care for me. And I don't think about anything else. So what do you guys do for you? And think about it. Say, I don't do anything for me. You know, some people get their nails done. I do it if I have to. I hate it. But other people like it, you know? So that's something you enjoy. What do you do for you? So good soul care, Beth. I love that. Okay, so we're going to go into communion, but I just wanted to ponder on this verse really quick in Psalms 50:14. Psalms 50:14, the other day I'm reading through the Psalms slowly. You know you can read through the Bible fast, but I just read through in the mornings. I just read through the Bible in two different places, and I drink it in. And I just, sometimes I have to, like, read it over and over and over again. Does anybody else have to do that? I'm like, did I miss something, God? Like, what do you want to teach from this verse? And so this was one of those verses, and I just so happened to be on it the other day. Psalms 50:14, it says, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. The word thanksgiving means offer to God adoration, praise, and lifting of hands in praise. Those are the definitions of what thanksgiving is. So at that moment in that day, I stopped and I just raised my hands in the morning when it was dark outside and the dog is at the front door begging me to take her out. And I'm like, no, I'm going to praise God right now. Quit interrupting. And I just praised God in that moment. And then it says, pay your vows to the Most High. And the vow means to keep your word. And in Numbers 32, it says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do accordingly to all that proceeds out of his mouth. And the Lord brought me back to when I was a teenager and I was, you know, at youth camp or I went on a mission trip. And if you ever made those vows to God, like, I will do anything for you, God. I will go to the mission field if you need me to go. You know, have you made those vows? Have you accepted the call and God has said, hey, what is it that I put in your hand? Will you do it? There's been little whispers for me in my life where the Lord's like, I'm just asking you to do this. I'm not telling you. I'm asking you, what's your response? And in that moment, if I say, God, I'll do it. I'm in. Then that's a vow I've made to the Lord. And many times when that call or that question or that path he has us on, do you notice how the enemy will come and take that away from you quickly? And all of a sudden you're like, wait, maybe this isn't right. Maybe this isn't what I should be doing. No, wait, I don't think I'm doing what God needs me to do. I'm not the right person for this job. Have you ever disqualified yourself from the call? And so many times the vow has kept me like an anchor to the call. And in my Thanksgiving time, usually God responds to me with, okay, well, now that you're in a place of gratitude, I need you to do some things for me. And then we make a vow and we are on assignment. And so in your time of thanksgiving, hear for the voice of God, because he's going to ask you to do some things in your time of thanksgiving. In your time of thanksgiving, your hearts are going to be open in a way they aren't going to be open when we're in a complaining state, right? When we're in a mode of disbelief or maybe discomfort or weariness, you're not going to hear the voice of God as you will when you are in a place of surrender, in a place of praising, and in a place of thankfulness. When you're in that surrendered position, I believe God is going to begin to speak some things to you. And then you will make a vow with God. Keep your vow. And when the enemy comes to rob that from you, you say, no, wait a second. God asked me. I know what he put me on assignment. I'm staying the course. I'm going to do what he's asked me to do. And I'm thankful that he's going to get me through it. And that for me has been my year. That has been every day when my heart is broken, when things don't go the way they should, when I have to be a boss and I just want to be nice guy. Believe me, that's not a fun position to be in. When I have things happening in our family and there's my kids are acting crazy, or maybe they're having demonic attacks against them, I have to remember what God told me about my kids, and I have to remind the devil, no, you don't get to have this win. You don't get to have this place. God told me this and this and this about my kids, and I'm thank you, Lord, that you're coming through, that you're going to follow through. And then all of a sudden, that whole circumstance turns back into faith. It turns back into what God needed it to be. So today, my question to you is, what vow, and this is not for the table, okay? I wanted to end like this. I don't know if you guys have your own phones or if you have your notepad and piece of paper, but this is a you time right now, okay? I don't want you talking to each other. It should be silent in the room. And I want you to ask, what vow has God asked me and I've said to him and I've not kept? That's the first question. And then what can I make a new vow in this Thanksgiving season? And then I want you to thank him and praise him for it. Okay? So what is it? Just spend some time with God and be like, is there something that I said I would do, God, that maybe I haven't followed through in? And then maybe this new Thanksgiving season in your time right now, you need to make a new commitment to the things that maybe God needs you to step into. Okay, so this is your time. This is your private moment. We'll give you a few minutes to do this. All right, girls. We normally at The Rock do communion very differently, but this is going to be a shorter communion. And we just wanted to finish this beautiful day of Thanksgiving in communion to the Lord with each other. Because you girls are going to walk out of here and you're going to be busy and you have a lot on your plate and you're hosting the world. But some of you walked in here today and you don't know this God we've been talking about. You maybe know of him, you believe in who he is, but you've maybe never asked him to be your personal Lord and Savior of your life. You know, God didn't create you and I for us to be alone. He wanted us to be in communion with him daily, every day, in response to who he is and him in response to who we are. He wants a relationship with you. And so today, maybe you walk in and go, I don't have really a personal relationship. I have a knowledge of who God is, but I don't have this personal relationship with God. Then I want to give you an opportunity to know who God is, and we'll pray together quickly. Maybe you walked in here today and you're like, I'm a mess. I served God at one time in my life. I've been messing around. I've been doing more of my own thing instead of God's thing. I know I need to get right with God. Then today, stop messing around. Don't play games with God any longer. Today's your day to get right. Today's a beautiful time and a season of the year to just reconnect with the one who loves you so deeply and so passionately. His name is Jesus. And so today, that'll be your opportunity. Maybe you're wondering, well, I think I'm saved. I don't know if I'm saved. I'm hoping I'm saved. I hope I believe. You know, I don't know. Well, then how about today? You just make sure. Because in the Word of God, when we talk about communion, you will eat of the bread in remembrance of God and drink of his blood, or drink of the juice, it's not blood, but in remembrance of him. But you don't want to curse yourself because you don't know who he is. You would be better off letting that communion cup pass by you than to drink of the ailments if you don't know who Jesus Christ is and if he is not your personal Lord and Savior. And so we would be doing you a disservice to say, let's take communion out of tradition and let's do this. No, you need to have a personal relationship with the Lord. And so today, I don't want you guys to walk out of here and go, I never knew that. Nobody ever told me. Well, today you're being told. that you need to get right with God, and that if you've never known who he is, today is your beautiful opportunity to know this amazing God that we've been talking about, to know the peace that we've all been talking about, and the strength of who he is. And so today, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to just pray a prayer. We're going to just pray together, and we're all going to repeat it. And you know in your heart between you and God, this is just going to be an intimate time today. Is that okay? That you're going to get right with the Lord before we go into the breaking of bread. Because I never want you to say, when you made it to heaven, well, no one told me. You're being told that he loves you, but you can't get to heaven on your own. You have to go through his name as Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth, and the life. You say, how do we do this? You're going to pray a prayer. And when you ask Jesus to come in your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, then he will come in and he will rule and reign in your heart, and you will become a new creation in him. The beautiful part of that is everything changes in life. You don't have to be a part of that old man any longer. You take off the old man and you put on the new man, and his name is Jesus. And today we'll take communion together, and we'll be much more special for you. It'll be much more intimate for you. It'll be such a beautiful remembrance of him. So today, if you say, okay, I've been running from God instead of to God, I need to get right, then we're going to pray together. If you say, I've never prayed this prayer, then we're going to all pray together out loud. You don't have to be embarrassed. This isn't a shameful thing. It's a beautiful thing. You get to enter into heaven. You get to hear the words of Jesus that says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and enter in rest. And so when your time is done here on earth, you will know him and you will see him. You see, life isn't over after we die. Life just starts after we die. This is just a passing through. And so today, if you've been hoping and thinking, and maybe I'm right with God, I don't know, don't make that chance. Don't take that chance. You need to make sure, you need to know. And so today, let's do this together. Can I have everyone bow their heads and close their eyes, and we're going to pray. Repeat after me. Dear Father God, I come before you today, and I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. Lord, that you would cleanse me, and that you would wash me. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on that cross so that I can be saved through you. Father God, I ask that you would come into my heart and be the Lord and Savior of my life. I deny hell today, and I'm headed for heaven. Today, I have a new beginning in Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, fill me, teach me, and use me. Today, I'm a new creation, and I'm headed for heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you did pray that prayer for the first time or you rededicated, we'd love to connect with you right afterwards. Barbara, where's my girl Barbara? Right here. This is Barbara. Isn't she gorgeous? Afterwards, Barbara will be up front and she wants to connect with you. We have a free, simple book for you to read. We give away friends here at the Rock Church. And so if you need a friend to help you walk through the next steps of salvation and what to do next after you've prayed that prayer, come and connect with Barbara. Do not leave here without knowing a friend, okay? Promise me, don't leave without knowing each other. If you feel uncomfortable with that, talk to your table leader. You've kind of connected with her, and your table leader can walk you forward and help you walk through the steps of that, okay? All right, well, Pastor Deborah, will you take over? You have a mic? Here,
right here. I'm sorry. My spread's getting bigger. Let me just read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I have to get there on my phone. I can see. Yeah. I have it. Thanks. Let me just read it from yours. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. And this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. I love this church because they give me such hope. Yeah. They were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper and everything else. And I just think, oh, well, just the Rock, you know, back to the prayer closet. The family. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And I love this because Paul wasn't there at the Last Supper. He was, you know, an apostle later on when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And then he spent 3 years in the deserts of Arabia, and the Lord gave him the revelation, the mystery of grace. So the Lord appeared to Paul more than once and talked to him. And so this was a direction from Jesus to Paul. for I received from the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? And God talks to us. And he said, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And I just wanted to say that when we take communion, we are remembering and we are proclaiming. It's not just a tradition. It's something that spiritually awakens our spirit and awakens our soul to remember what Jesus did for us. And so we proclaim, we announce, we are witnesses to this generation that Jesus Christ is real, that he came, that he died, that he was raised from the dead, that he's the King of glory, the God of the universe, and that we proclaim it by taking communion. So it's not just something we do, it's something that we proclaim and we witness. And I just wanted to, my little piece is the bread. And so,
what did I? Here, take my bread.
Thank you. Oh, God. See, this is what happens when you get, oh, where's my bread? Where is it?
I can't open mine.
Oh, God. I couldn't. No. This one
was on the floor.
Oh, it's mine. This is mine. It was on the floor. 3 second rule. I don't care. That's okay. Found it.
5 second rule.
Yeah. Okay. Well, 5 minute rule, whatever. I'm the only one in the Cobra family that's not germophobic. But this is the body. And when I take communion, and so many times I've had so many messages, so many years, but I don't want to be too wordy, but I want you to just think about something with me. We are coming into, and we are here in the holidays. And I ministered Sunday night on just holiday ready, and I had a couple of women come up to me afterwards, and they were very upset because they believed that Christmas was a tradition of men, and that Thanksgiving was a tradition, and that we shouldn't be celebrating it. And the Puritans did that. They didn't let the church celebrate Christmas. We don't know when Jesus was born. There is no date. There's nothing. And God, if he wanted us to, we would have known. But we just know he was. So we took a day and we decided, bang, this day we're going to just remember. And so today, as we get ready for the holidays, I wanted to remind you, and this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, I'm in chapter 3, sorry. Hebrews 10. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, now this is Jesus, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. God gave the law, but he had no pleasure in it because he had a divine plan before the foundations of the world. He knew he was going to come. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. In the volume of the book, it's written of me over 360 prophecies of Jesus coming, of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his second coming. God knew already what was going to happen, that he was going to bring forth the Word made flesh and become a baby. He was going to wrap himself in flesh. He was going to limit his power in a container of flesh and blood and become the last Adam, the progenitor of a new creation, his church, who would believe in him, not by works, not by doing good, but by faith, by believing that this is who he is and this is what he's done. And girls, I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to tell you something. This season, as we take this communion, remember that he identified with us so much that he's still wrapped in a human body, albeit glorified, but still human, at the throne. You are completely and absolutely born of a brand new birth. You are children of God. And the God that has created everything, has put himself in a human body so that he could be our high priest. And I believe he wants me to just remind you this communion that he's good. That he's not uptight. He's not mad if you get drunk and you drink too much. Don't do that, he says. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. But at your tables and as you gather your families, if there are the drunks in the house or whatever they are, God's not mad at them. He loves them. God wants us to wake up in the morning and look at the creation that he's made and realize that every color, every texture, every scent, every smell, every sound is to remind us and teach us of who he is. That the earth is beautiful, and he did that for us. He wants us to remember that he loves a party. He turned water into wine at a wedding, and it was the best wine. Now, this is not permission to go get drunk on Thanksgiving. But it is to remind us of who he is, because we can make such a religious God out of him. Yeah. And we can be so stiff and starchy with our disciplines and our tendencies to be those Christians that we want to be, that we forget to breathe and live and to actually enjoy being human, enjoy our families, enjoy the cooking, enjoy the work, enjoy the tension, enjoy it all because it's life. And he's the author and the finisher of your faith. And he's the giver of your life. And he's so, so, so wonderful. And he just loves you. He just loves you. He loves you so much that he became the last Adam for you and me. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat all of it in remembrance of." So let's remember what a great God we have and how much we're loved so that we can be great people and love greatly. Not because we can, but because he is. So Father, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Son that put on flesh for us. And as we eat this bread, we remember and we thank you and give you praise. Therefore, this is my body, which is broken for you. Eat all of it in remembrance of me. Let's partake.
In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." I love the fact that it says a new covenant. I think in our society today, we don't understand what covenant even means. It's a vow, like we talked about, where you keep your word. It's something that can't be easily broken. It's spiritually connected. It's intertwined physically, emotionally, on every level. And God says, you had a covenant with sin when you were born into this world, but I am going to the cross, and my blood will be shed and broken open for a new covenant with you. That means, listen, you might think, I'm too much of a mess. There's too much of me that is not good enough for him. But God says, because of who I am, and because my blood is going to be broken open for you, it's going to wash away all of the sin. It's going to be the cleansing agent for what it is that we can walk in. And sometimes we as humanity, especially as Christians, we mess up. Even in our Christianity, we mess up. We say things we shouldn't say. We think thoughts we shouldn't think. We talk to people rudely the way that Christians shouldn't talk to each other. We sin and we actually purposely go against what God says. And God is saying, we have a covenant here. And it's a new covenant. It's one that I opened up the throne room of heaven and you can come and repent. And you can come and have my intention at the throne room. And it's something that's fresh and it's new. And it's something you can trust in. And it's something you can abide in. And it's something that is bigger than you and will always be bigger than who you are. And God says, I have this new covenant. I love in the Greek, it was saying the word for new is new. It's unused. It's a fresh, novel,
I believe God wants to write a new story in our lives this next year. I believe God wants to write a novel of what he wants to do in your hearts, in your minds, in your lives, in your families, in your story. Because he died on a cross to give us a new path. He died on the cross to wash away our sins. He died on that cross. He was broken open and his blood was dripping and washing through so that you can sit here today and have access to him. So you can sit here today and you can tell the devil, not me. You don't get to mess with me. The price has already been paid for me. He died on that cross. You don't get to play games in my life or in my head or with my family. You don't get to have authority over sickness. I have authority over sickness because I'm a child. I'm a child of God. And this is who my covenant is with. I'm not in covenant with the devil any longer. I'm in covenant with who Christ is. And so girls, today as we take this cup, I want us to stand. I want us to stand in the authority that we've been learning in Ephesians. You girls have been told who you are this year in Ephesians. You girls have been told that you're the daughter of the Most High God, that you are in covenant with the King of the universe, the one who breathed life into us as we learned today, the one who put every star in place, the one that knows all 150 hairs that we're supposed to lose every day. I just learned that one. And this is the amazing God who died on a cross for us, who said, I am going to be broken, but not just that. I am going to bleed out my blood, and it's going to wash away all their sins so that they can stand in who I am and who I created them to be. He paid the price for you so you don't have to. Isn't that a beautiful thing? So today, God, we stand in remembrance as your girls, saluting you, O heaven, our King, our Master, our Father. Thank you for giving of yourself so that we could live. Thank you for washing us of our sins. Thank you for defeating the devil, God, so that we can have victory here on this earth. Thank you, God, for loving us beyond what we're able to love. God, thank you for going deeper with us when, God, we don't know how to do it right. God, thank you for being merciful, God, when we are so undeserving of mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you for giving for us. So today we stand in remembrance of you, and we partake together as your girls in this house at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center in 2018 on Thanksgiving week, God. And we say we are thankful for who you are and what you gave and what you've done. And Lord, we just honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and partake. We are 10 minutes late, but can I pronounce a special Thanksgiving blessing over you? All right. Now listen, family can be a mess, but I know a God who likes to fix messes. And you girls are going to be with family. And maybe you aren't. Maybe you go, I don't really have family. Well, guess what? God is going to bring people into your life, and you're going to have a new family. You're part of this family, the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We have our communion service. So bring your men in your family. Bring your kids on Wednesday night right before, okay? And we'll have communion together again. But girls, I want you guys to just know I love you. And happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back the second week in January for Women Rock AM, okay? Second week in January. We take a break right now so you can go and do life big with your families in the season. But can you do me a favor? Get yourself a Girls Night Out ticket. It's going to be amazing. I'm telling you right now, heaven, every time we read the script, we cry. Every time we are prepping our songs, we're freaking out because I know the Holy Spirit, we want to tell his story so beautifully. So please promise me, why are you talking? I know, I'm talking. So I'm asking you to come. I'm asking you to bring friends. You are full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you girls, go out and invite as many girls as you can. Tickets are very cheap. So bring them out. Come on out. It's a full night. It's going to be a blast, okay? Let me pronounce a blessing over you. Dear God, we thank you for these girls. Lord, I pray that as they go out into their homes during this holiday season, that God, that you would bring them joy in the stressful moments. Oh, Holy Spirit, be with them. God, I pray that you would inspire them when their hearts are weary or when they're in a down place. Holy Spirit, I pray for a rejuvenation in their souls and in their spirit man and in their bones. Lord, I pray that we would shout from the rooftops your goodness in our families and in our lives. Lord, I pray, God, that your presence would be with them as they go out into the north and the south and the east and the west, that God, everything they put their hand to, that you would bless it, God. I pray for deals and good deals as they're shopping for Thanksgiving and Christmas, God. Lord, I ask for the blessing of God to be upon their children, God, and what the devil and the assignments that he's placed on their families, we break them right now in the name of Jesus, and we declare love and faith and unity and rest and peace and happiness, restoration and deliverance over every family represented in this room today. And Lord, we thank you, God, that this will be a season of taking back territory that the enemy has stolen from us. We thank you for a season of restoration and a season of blessing. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I love you, girls. Give each other a hug. Happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.